Now, tell me about your father.
City Counselling on 95BFM, our weekly chat with the good people of Auckland Council.
It's Elena, and this morning I spoke with Auckland City Councillor Pippa Coombs. We talked about the newly unveiled public artwork Ko Rimu Rimu on the Auckland waterfront. She told me about how it interacts aesthetically and conceptually with the Waitemata Harbour, how the piece and the wider Te Wānanga development have valorised mana whenua design input, and how public art that is both interactive and functional is important in revitalising downtown as a space to visit, stay in and interact with. We also discussed the starts and stops of Auckland Transport's cycle network rollout, how communication between Auckland Transport and the council seems to have broken down with limitations such as funding and public pushback, ostensibly delaying cycleway plans that should have been finished in 2018. Could you tell me about the new interactive artwork that's been installed at Te Wānanga in downtown Auckland?
Yeah, it opened up properly yesterday with the artist and the mayor down at Te Wānanga, the new public space at the waterfront, and it's a woven artwork made by artist Tessa Harris, and it sort of looks like woven flax, but it's made from a material that the army uses for their netting, and I understand it's as strong as the platform itself, so it's going to be really interesting to see how people interact with it, because you can sit on it, lie on it. It's not really made for bouncing because it's not stretchy, but it's, you know, people can just do whatever they want on it really. So it's quite a new, exciting addition, and lots of creative people have had input into making it work because it sort of floats over the water.
Because it's made out of this material, but it's supposed to imitate flax weaving. I was wondering like how aspects of its design, such as this weaving that resembles seaweed and a suspension across the water, how is that relevant to the local area and wider environmental concerns? Because I know a lot of the redesign in downtown is quite focused on an environment and how the space can interact with it.
It's meant to be a interpretation of what would have been the original foreshore. That's meant to provide a way to sort of interact with the waterfront and actually be able to get down and sort of touch the water almost. So that's why this incorporates things like the mussel ropes that are for filtering the water to try and clean up the harbour. And just the way that there are no sort of straight lines, it's meant to sort of be evocative of the coastline. Some beautiful mature trees have gone into the space as well. So I just think it's going to be such a draw card for the downtown.
The new green space is popping up in Auckland Central, making it a lot nicer to just interact with that space.
Well, if you think about it, there hasn't been that many places just to sort of sit in the downtown area and just kind of contemplate and relax and meet up with people. That's another wonderful thing about Te Wānanga.
Yeah, I reckon. I always found going down Queen Street, it just always seems like such a transient place, and I'd never be able to just stop and feel invited into the space. Myself, I'm from Wellington, coming from a place that has such an amazing waterfront. I really missed that coming up to Auckland, so seeing this happening is really great. So you said that it'll be interesting to see how people interact with this artwork. Have you found that interactive art such as this might more easily engage the public?
Well, I think that ability to touch and sit on something and actually it's got wider meanings, and it's a whole lot of creative skills that have gone into it. I think that's an important aspect of the artworks that we've got at Te Wānanga. Like when you actually see them, you might not think of them as art, but actually when you realise, dig down into the detail and the creative people behind it, and particularly Tessa Harris, you know, there's a whole lot of layers of meaning. That's so important that we do re-establish Māori art and design into our public spaces.
Next, I was wondering if we could quickly chat about Auckland Transport's delivery of the new cycle network. Are there any recent updates that you'd like to share in particular about this?
Well, it's a long-term aspiration to have an Auckland cycle network. I mean, the network itself goes back to the late 1990s, so it has been around a long time, and then it got a big boost about 5-6 years ago with government funding for the urban cycling improvements. that were meant to add a lot more to the network of safe, separated infrastructure just to help people get out on their bikes. And a lot of that was meant to be delivered by 2018. But we've seen the timetable slipping, we've seen budget overruns, we've seen Auckland Transport not even spending the budget that's available, about $50 million to spend. So I think it's just creating a huge frustration that while other cities are really getting on board with providing safe cycling infrastructure and realising the importance of giving people transport choice, because it's not just about cycling, it's about active mobility and being able to get around without having to use a car, which is just absolutely going to be essential in Auckland if we're going to reduce our emissions. So it's just been hugely frustrating that Auckland Transport has been slow on the delivery. And I guess I've been in looking into what those reasons, why has this been happening.
What have you found as reason for these delays?
Well, Auckland Transport gives quite a lot of excuses around the delay. They say that it's because of community opposition or because the roads are too narrow or that it's just got really expensive. But if you dig into these excuses, you really see that they're not actually, they're all barriers that Auckland Transport has control of and can overcome. I mean, just even say thinking about community opposition, yes, there's been some high profile cases, but it was a very small number of people in a very specific location, whereas actually we know from consultation after consultation that there's huge support for delivering safer streets. Every single consultation I've been involved with, that's been the clear message from the community. And also Auckland Transport's got a political mandate, so they've been set up as an agency that can deliver on the strategies that the politicians have set out. We've given them this mandate, and they're still not delivering. So cities like Christchurch, where the politicians are directly in control, have actually delivered a whole lot more. They're very close to completing their network. And in Wellington, they're working towards a fully completed network as well and funding that. Whereas in Auckland, as I keep saying, we're all going to be dead before there's a cycling network. And that's just really not good enough.
Interesting. So is Auckland the only city that really has quite a separation between the transport arm and local government?
Yeah, we've got this interesting arrangement of a CCO, a council-controlled organisation, that Auckland Transport has been set up purposely at arm's length of the politicians. So that structure was meant to uncouple the politicians from the delivery if it was in the best interests of the wider community. And that's where the frustration has been, is that we're not letting that model work the way that it should. And, Auckland Transport have got this mandate and they just need to get on and act on it. I'm right behind the chair of Auckland Transport. She said that she totally wants to work with us for a reset.
That sounds as if there is perhaps some positive change on the horizon. But, just browsing through briefly the cycle projects on the Auckland Transport website. For projects that have seemingly tailed off, there isn't even then a reasoning saying, this project is finished. I live near Great North Road and there's supposed to be a cycleway that was finished in 2018, but there's nothing there. And it doesn't even give an update on the website saying we're actually not doing this anymore. It just says last update in 2018, we're still thinking about the plan.
Yeah.
So it would be good if more communication was put on that front.
Exactly. And with Great North Road, it's been consulted on now 3 times and it's been meant to be moving ahead this year, but Auckland Transport have just made it so much harder than it had to be. And with that project, there wasn't any community opposition. There was very little pushback. So, it's just a constant frustration. And what we know is that if we want people to get out of their cars, they've got to have safe, effective alternatives. And so providing that infrastructure is absolutely critical.
Definitely. It seems like providing cycleways and alternate modes of transport is going to be incredibly important if Auckland and New Zealand wants to keep hitting its targets for environmental well-being.
Absolutely.
Have you tried mindfulness? Try mindfulness.
City Counselling on 95 BFM.